When we see Jesus at work expressing his anger by driving out cattle, sheep, and doves and overturning tables of the temple money-changers, maybe we, like the audience of that day, are rather surprised and even shocked. After all, Jesus was mild and meek, soft-spoken, kind, gentle, wasn't he? He was the one who taught us to turn the other cheek and to love even our enemies. How could he become so angry and do what he did? The setting for this story is Jerusalem at Passover. Every year, every male who is 12 years old is required to come to Jerusalem to offer God a sacrifice in the temple. Some of the people came from far away, and it wasn't practical for them to bring an animal with them for the sacrifice. So animals were offered at the temple for them to buy. It was also a time to pay the temple tax, and only shekels were to be used because of the images of people or animals on the forum of mortgage. But temple money wasn't used for everyday expenses, so people brought their Roman and other foreign coinage to the temple and had it exchanged for shekels. This was all done for the convenience of the worshippers. And in the beginning, this was a very good system. But the sellers of the animals and the money changers soon became greedy and were charging exorbitant prices for spotless lambs, and the money changers were charging excessive fees to exchange the coins. And to top it off, they had moved their business right into the temple area, into the court of the Gentiles. Now, the temple had four special areas where only certain people could go. The court of the priests was the inner court where only the priests could go. The court of the Jews, where only Jewish men were allowed. The court of the women, where Jewish women were allowed to go their way. And the court of the Gentiles, where people who were not Jewish could worship. It was in this court of the Gentiles where the merchants and the money changers were. I believe that Christ was angry not just because the merchants were taking advantage of the people of God, but because they had made it the only place where Gentiles could worship, basically excluding them from the worship of God. Well, as we shall see throughout John's Gospel, Jesus' action caused an immediate response by the religious leaders. So they came to Jesus and they want to know, what sign do you show us as your authority to do these things? Notice their concern here. They are not concerned as much about what Jesus did as they are about who did it. The cleansing did not bother them as much as the fact that Jesus did not have their approval. I love Jesus' response here. He does not accommodate the request for a sign by pulling out his resume or papers to validate who he is. He does not perform some spectacular miracle on cue to try to persuade them that he is the Messiah. Instead, he confuses them even more. You want a sign? I give you a sign. Tell them in 3 days I will raise it back up. Jesus is not speaking of destroying the literal temple, but rather he's talking about his own body, that he will be destroyed and then raised back to life. It is not the Jerusalem temple, but the human body of Jesus that represents the presence of God. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament temple. With Jesus' ultimate sacrifice of himself, there will be no more need for temple sacrifice. Jesus knew that he would be killed and crucified out of his zeal for an obedience to his Father. Through his death, not only would Jesus cleanse the temple, he would replace it. He would fulfill its purpose. God's purposes would be fulfilled in Jesus. This is why he brought up his death and resurrection in the way he did. He was telling them that it was his body that is the true object of worship. No longer will the temple represent the presence of God. From now on, Jesus represents the presence of God. In the former days, God dwelt among his people in the temple. But with the coming of Jesus, it is no longer through the temple that we approach God. It is through Jesus that we pray, through Jesus that we receive forgiveness and atonement. So where is God's house in our time? Someone suggests that it is church buildings. In truth, the temple of the day is the place where God dwells. It is in you and in me. 1 Corinthians 3:16 reads, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" And in another place in Scripture it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" And still another place says, "We are the temple of the living God." As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We are now God's temple. Paul also says, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." That is where God is glorified. God knows the hearts and the thoughts of all people. It was God who came to this earth in human form. God came to this temple and cleansed it. And then God, in the person of Jesus Christ, went to the cross, where he cleansed the world of sin, washing us in his own blood. So let me say this. Jesus has not changed in 2,000 years. He is still passionate about his temple. The God to whom we have come, that loving, healing Lord, with warm, accepting, and understanding eyes, who touches you with forgiveness and cleansing, is nevertheless unwilling to put up with the continuance of sin. He will cleanse his temple, whether you like it or not. Lent is a season of reflection for us to identify and seek changes in our lives. May I suggest that all of us need help in cleaning out the junk in our lives, and that Jesus wants us to do some spring cleaning. It is virtually important, vitally important, that we look upon ourselves as the temple of God. He resides within us. Therefore, we must be pure and clean. Let's take a look at ourselves at the witness that we have within us. When Jesus walks in the temple of your heart, what does he see? I recently heard a song that expresses this thought. I thought it was kind of nice. "Come and make my heart your home. Come and be everything that I am and all I know. Search me through and through till my heart becomes a home for you. A home for you, a home for you. Let everything I do open up a door for you to come through. Make my heart your home." Each of us should examine our hearts and ask God to bring to mind any sin that we confess. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Only then can we truly worship with zeal and bring honor and glory to God. When with King David we can pray, "Create in me a clean heart, and put in you the right spirit within me. Remember, you are the temple of God, and wherever you go, the temple of God goes with you."